Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to The Shy, Season 2, Episode 3, Past Due. We're talking Ronnie getting out. We're talking Emmett. We're talking Brandon. We're talking money woes for everybody. Mm-hmm. We got a special segment and more. Come back with us soon. Come back, folks.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, party people? I am your host, Erica Edwards, but I couldn't do it without my crew. So we have the amazing and lovely Lauren.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to talk about the show tonight.
And finally joining us, we're so happy to have the one and only Chef Beans, gas-free people. Chef Beans is in the house.
Welcome. That's right. Chef Beans with the mental cuisine.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to dive in. What did you guys feel overall about this episode?
You
want
to go?
I was very excited about this episode because I feel like Lena tapped into a lot of different conversations. So with the intensity and all that happened within Ronnie, I was very excited about it.
I guess I wasn't excited, but I was glad that, Brandon finally got some closure and he finally got to express his feelings to someone who was also kind of a part of the bigger story. So I guess I was good with some of the things that happened, but not happy with one of the things that happened.
Yeah, this episode for me felt, I don't know, I guess we had so much hardcore last time with Reggie and everything. This episode felt a little light. It felt like Chi-Town light to me, really. It was a lot of interesting storylines. Like, I'm always engaged. Mm-hmm. And the stories moved forward a bit, but I don't know. It felt like it was cool.
Like something else could have been in there.
I felt like I wanted more of a hook, and I definitely wanted, I think, more of a hook at the end. I wanted something to kind of pull me, but it was a nice ride.
Yeah,
nice
I agree. Ride.
So let's talk about, because I love him. He's such a cutie pie. Let's start off talking about Emmett. Like, you know, Emmett's whole storyline throughout this episode. So we see Emmett. And Sonny has a stroke, and Emmett, like, comes to his rescue, and we sort of see Emmett kind of step up and, you know, eventually become manager. What do you guys, because Emmett to me is kind of like that player you love to hate, and he has, like, some trifling ways, but then you see him, like, you know, he could be out doing drugs or something like Reggie, but he's doing better, and he's struggling, but he has his little shoe fetish, but outside of that, you know, a decent player. What do you guys think?
I think that, I guess, he was playing around for so long. Like, you heard them say, the grease trap is messed up. Whose job was that? Yours. Dang, I didn't do it. I feel like because he didn't take it as seriously as he should, no one took him seriously. And I feel like that's why he couldn't successfully run Sonny's chicken shop. But other than that, I was happy that he tried to step up and finally take some ownership for his actions, you know, and I thought it was huge of him, despite everything that happened with him and his baby mama, that he still tried to, you know, go by and drop off half the money.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think?
I really like Emmett. Like, I like Emmett a lot because he's trying and he's only doing what he feels as though is best. Like, when Sonny told him to go out, basically take care of the situation with Brandon, he took care of it. He didn't back down. And he's the reason why Sonny is still alive. So right. He's under a lot of scrutiny as a 17-year-old young black man growing up in Chi, but he's really just trying to figure out while being a father, while being a son, and while not trying to go the stereotypical route of an inner city black kid as far as hitting the streets.
Exactly. And one of the things I love about Emmett, and I have a picture of it here, our very first photo, is Emmett meeting with Sonny's daughter. And what I love about Emmett is Emmett takes every situation to get his hustle on. So whether it's the shoes or it's the weave or now, you know, he's like, well, I can do this. So I do like his grind.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Because I feel like whatever it is, you can't say Emmett is lazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because anytime he has that opportunity, he sees it. It's not like for illegal means or anything. It's like, oh, okay, I see a business opportunity here. I'm going to make a move. And I really respect that.
Yeah, because he said, why close the shop down when it can be making money? So, yeah, you got to respect the hustle now. What he does afterwards, whatever.
Exactly. So the thing with Emmett as well is that he... you know, him and his baby mama issue. So, you know, she comes in acting a fool at Sonny's. And I kind of admired the way he handled it because he didn't get rah-rah with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he offered her money and she's like, F you. And so he still goes by the house. And so what do you think about the last scene that they have, the two of them hooking up? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm honestly not surprised. I felt some sexual tension there between them. I wasn't expecting it to happen this soon, episode 3, but it happened. I'm not surprised because, you know, she broke up with the last man. She might be one to get on again. I was just like, I knew it was bad whenever she said, EJ's not here. I was like, oh, goodness, this can only go two ways.
Exactly.
So, of course, that's the way it went.
Right. No, I saw it coming from a mile away. I saw it coming from a mile away. The second that he offered to give her the money, he's basically showing her, like, yo, I'm trying to, of course, that... sexual chemistry was there if they have a kiss. So clearly mm-hmm. they're attracted to each other, but I'm not surprised, like, at all. Like, I knew it was going to crack eventually.
Exactly. I mean, I am, you know, I hate to say it, but I always feel like anytime you date a guy and the child is under 2, there's always a chance for him to backslide to the baby mama. Like, I fundamentally yeah. believe that to be true.
That's a good point.
Like,
yeah.
there's always the backslide potential because the child is so young and clearly they were together not so long ago. So I definitely feel that. Although I am going to say this, like, not to get too graphic or whatever, but... Emmett gets down with everybody, and we have not seen him crack open a condom yet. Ooh. So that was really the whole thing I thought when I saw that whole episode. I was like, well, this looks great and exciting, but it also looks like, okay, baby number 2 is going to, you know.
I was honestly wondering that, too.
Yeah.
Baby number 4.
I was just like, true. I was
well,
like,
baby number
wait.
2 with Tiffany.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I was like, I didn't see any type of reference to protection.
Right.
And then on top of that, I think this is going to make him sing EJ harder. I feel like she's going to, like, use this against him. Like, if we don't continue to have sex, you can't see your baby. Oh, you put it on me one time and that's it. Like, she's going to want more.
She's going to want a relationship.
She's going to want something. Like, I don't think this is going to end well.
Yeah, I agree. What do you... Chef? Chef Bean?
Lightly like that.
What did the brother think?
Because it's like... When women sometimes, like I said, I'm saying sometimes because it's subjective, have the baby, they can have the power in a sense that, like, they can use it as leverage as far as still having control over the male. Mm-hmm, and clearly
right.
she's using this as control. He's like, look, I'm just trying to see my son. Well, he's at my mom's and my mom doesn't like you. It's all like a power thing. So hopefully she doesn't try to use the baby to flex on him. But
I mean, she's already doing it, but
I wouldn't be surprised. And I think them having sex, I'm not going to say it's adding too much messiness, but it could be, you know, toxic.
Yeah.
More toxic.
I agree. Cause I feel like you thought she was crazy before. And you weren't sleeping with her. Now she's going to be really rah-rah. And especially my thing with Emmett, too, is not that it's a bad thing, like he's young or whatever. But even with Keisha, he's not really with just one person. So that's why I feel like it's going to be drama with her. Because I've never seen him really be true to anybody. He's not really interested in a commitment. So I feel like she's going to get a little crazy with him. So, you know, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We wish you luck, Emmett. You know, we will send you Trojans in the mail. you need to be strapping up. Okay. But before we move on to Ronnie, Chef Beans, take it away, sir.
Yes, yes, yes. So before we move on to the next topic, we just want to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We couldn't do this without you. But before we continue, we need you to do a few things. First, if you're on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, please leave a nice, healthy, smooth comment. AfterBuzz TV has definitely given all of us confidence inside and outside of the studio. So if you could do those few things for us and make sure you stay fans, we'll all be happy and full.
Exactly. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Give us a thumbs up because you're here and you know you love it.
Yes. All Someone right. just gave us a thumbs up. So hey. Thank Yay. You.
Oh my gosh. I love you. I love you, boo. I love you. Okay. This is for real. Like, for real. Okay. All right, you guys. Moving on to a big portion of this episode was Ronnie. And I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. And I said Ronnie was going to walk free, and Ronnie has walked free. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I also predicted it. I said they can't keep him in jail too long. How are they going to, like, drag this out through the season?
Right.
So I definitely thought he would get out, but I didn't think it was going to be this soon. Everything's happening so soon. It's only episode 3. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's the rest of the season have in store for us? But it was just so weird, I guess, to me, because the detective asked Brandon to write the letter. And then, like, the same day Ronnie got out, I was like, so how was that going to help at all, you know?
Right.
But he's out. I think something bad is going to happen. I don't think Brandon is going to do anything necessarily, but I feel like something is going to come out of this.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he's out either as far as storyline, but it is going to get messier because he's the reason why his grandmom got beat up by the two guys with his messiness and the cops going.
You think
back.
So?
Absolutely. Yes.
Huh,
no,
okay.
No, absolutely. He's the reason because remember when he returned the phone in season 1 where he said, okay, I'm going to give you this phone, just make sure it doesn't come back to me. Ronnie told the cops, like, look, this is how I got the phone and this is where I got it from. So right. I'm guessing the cops went snooping over there and those were the same people from that, I don't remember his name. He had like a woman name, but the dude who was upside down meditating.
Right.
The
other drug dealer.
That's how that all happened.
So, you mean Jason's phone?
Yes. Yes, that's all connected to Ronnie and his grandma getting beat up.
You think so?
100%.
Okay, I know we're kind of switching gears, but I completely agree with your topic now. I think it has something to do with that lady trying to move them out.
I don't agree, but I think that's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting
theory.
That's
a new theory we haven't thought of. But
that is a new theory. I mean, I don't agree with it, but I do feel like, but that's just me, you know?
Yeah,
who knows? But I see what you're saying. Because there was some, there have to this point been no repercussions for him writing out that other drug dealer, which he did do. And that was like his boy. And even though he seemed like a cool, mellow type drug dealer, a drug dealer is still a drug dealer. So that is a valid point. I certainly agree with that. It's a good point. I still feel like it's the crazy white lady. But that's just me. That's just me. You know, I feel like it's the, oh, you're being evicted, but now you're really being evicted because we're beating you down.
Yeah.
But that was kind of my thing about it. Now, the issue I had with it, and certainly, like, as an attorney or whatever, it was, like, just too easy. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really, you know, I would have preferred if like you mentioned, they asked Brandon to do an impact speech, but it seemed like the way the storyline was written that the attorney decided not to, the prosecutor decided not to pursue it at all, so there was no reason for him to give a speech because they were like, okay, we just going to withdraw the charges. Which, theoretically, if they don't go, and I'll have to double check on this for you guys next week because I don't do criminal work, but if he hasn't actually been charged and it hasn't gone, I don't know, maybe they can charge him again if they drop the charges, actually.
I don't think he can be charged for the same crime twice.
You can't be tried for the same crime twice.
Right.
But if they withdraw the charges, like, then nothing ever happens. So I don't know. So I'll get back to you guys on that. So that was one thing. And then my thing was, like, I love that he had a black lawyer, and I have a picture of her here. And this is when he says to her, oh, it's good to have somebody on your side. And she rolls her neck, love her. And she says, I've never been on your side. I just want to make partner. What do you guys think?
Oh, she was dirty. I mean, she reminds me of like an Annalise Keating, How to Get Away with Murder fans. But she was so dirty. Like, you saw she was the one who paid that man to scare Kevin's parents off from him not giving his statement.
True.
So it could have went to court. But she paid that white man's, like, well, you know what happens to people when they talk. I was like, oh, my goodness. So, I mean, she has her ways. I think she'll definitely make partner if she keeps being grimy. But what are your thoughts?
No, I think she, like you said, she was just very methodical with how she wins her cases. And, mm-hmm.
and her name is Attorney Brown. Well, no, that's not her name. Sorry. Double check, you guys.
I'll look it up.
Thank but you. Sorry, because we want to be precise here, people. But go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying that she was very methodical with everything that she's doing. Ronnie thought that she was on his side. She's like, no, like I have my own selfish intentions, but just do better as a black man. Because clearly, I feel like lawyers know whether they did it or not, but it's not lawyers' job to get them to admit that. The lawyer's job is to win. But she knew that, yeah. You know, he took care of that. Like, she knew that he did the murder.
Exactly. And, well, a couple things for me. One is that I had an issue with was that, to me, like, he is a black man in Chicago. And so I get that she has a reputation, but to leave it on, okay, he confessed when he was drunk, and you have a witness. That seemed, I thought they were going to come down harder on Kevin and be like, you know, because you can't subpoena people to testify. Now, it would not have been a good look. And really, that's where I thought they were going to go. So I was really surprised that Ronnie walked free this early and honestly, this easily.
Right.
It's kind of like, well, nope. And, you know, we're just not going to charge him. So that part, I think.
Her name is Hendricks.
Thank you. Attorney Hendricks, you guys. We apologize. But yeah, so she's fierce, and I like that she's African-American, and I love that. And then I was really surprised, like, are you going this hard for pro bono, even if you're trying to make partner? Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, interesting. But needless to say, Ronnie is walking free. Now, what did you guys think? Because y'all know I'm not, I like their flashbacks, but I think they can be a bit excessive. But this one I found interesting. What did you think about the flashbacks of Ronnie with Jason and Jason's mother, Kimberly? What do you think about that?
Okay, this is kind of like a little superficial, I guess, but why they had her in the tightest clothes that made her, I was like, y'all couldn't find clothes that fit her.
Well, to me, I mean, part of it.
You know what I mean?
But not just that. To me, I feel like what I took it as, oh, okay, so Kimberly was trifling back in the day as she is now. Because it's like, basically, she was kind of like, oh, I love you and stuff, but you ain't got no job, you gotta go.
Exactly.
And the same way she is now, like, oh, okay, I love you and stuff, but you're not taking care of Jason's murder, so, like, now you gotta go kill somebody. Like, she...
And then when he did kill somebody, she got mad. It's just like, she doesn't know what she wants. Yeah, I completely agree, because she was all in love with him when he just got back, but then after it had been 3 months with no job, she was kind of like over him.
She's like, thanks for the sandwich, boo, but get a job.
I mean, I don't blame her. The reason why I don't blame her, because Ronnie wasn't consistent, or his words weren't adding up, to the point where even his grandma mentioned it. She said, what about those jobs? Even the girl said, you haven't been applying to those jobs. And she even said something about stability. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand you just came home, different things like that. I'm trying to make it work for you. I'm trying to be empathetic, but you're not even taking action. And even with the flashbacks, we saw how much he was affected from being in the military. From trying to act like he's shooting the neighbor from across the street, everything like that. He wasn't in the right headspace, because the war does that to you. So I don't blame her for being like, yo, you're not yourself.
No, I definitely think she should mention it. But I think we're just saying, like, you were wishy-washy then and you're wishy-washy now.
She comes down really hard on him. And to me, almost to the point of adding additional pressures in his life. And, you know, like, I agree with you totally. He was definitely impacted by the war, and he definitely had some issues. But she's basically like, oh, okay, yeah, you don't have a job yet, so we need to slow up, pull back. The same way she was like, oh, you know what happened to Jason? You call him your son. Or even when, you know, when Jason was running across the street to the neighbor, and Ronnie pulls him back, and it's like a big flip out, and she's still like, well, you can't be grabbing my son. I don't know. She seems a little extra to me. I mean, I'm just going to say. But
I'm just saying, like, I can
you
see
agree with her.
I can see where she's coming from, because she has a son, she's a single mother,
yeah,
and she's trying to figure it out. So if you have someone who you trusted to watch your son. Now he's harming your son for whatever reason. You know, they say, like, don't send the kid back the same way you left, like they left home type thing. Like, why is my son coming back to where he has an ice pack on his forearm? True. So that was a That's trigger, true. Too. And it's like, you're doing all of this and you're not adding up with your words. You need to figure it out. So that's why I'm understanding of her approach towards Ronnie.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Maybe we're being hired on Kimberly in her tight outfit. Okay. So right before Ronnie gets released, he gets a little meeting, a little exit interview with Detective Cruz. So we're moving on to the detectives part of the story. How did you guys feel about what are your positions on Cruz and also Tassan? But let's start with Cruz. What do you guys think of?
Well, Cruz, I feel like he has a guilty conscience. Like, he's the one who told Ronnie the description of
Coogie.
That's how you pronounce his name. Of Coogie. So it's partially that, and also letting the family know, like, yo, I got everything taken care of, but it blowing up in his face, that was just a easy reflection of the guilty conscience that he has tearing him up on the inside.
Yeah. I want to like Cruz because I feel like he is trying to make his wrong right, but he just keeps getting deeper and deeper in this hole. And I feel like he may start to turn into a bad cop. Because, like, we see him, at first he was all by the book trying to do everything right, and now he's, like, making visits and, like, threatening him. So I'm like, okay, I feel like his character is going to take a turn.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think to some extent he's taken the turn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously he let Ronnie see Jason's body, you know, and he wasn't a family member, and he gave him information that led to this child's death.
Exactly.
And so I do agree absolutely, you know, with you that he feels guilty, but absolutely he knows his job is on the line. And if it comes out that he gave him that information and let him see the body, then it's a wrap for him as a cop. Because you can't, definitely. You know what I mean? And it could come out now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Theoretically, because it's like, I guess we'll have to see what the aftermath of Ronnie walking free will be. so then we see Cruz and Tassan kind of interact. And we see her kind of go down the path of investigating. First, she's investigating. She meets with Miss Ethel. And she's trying to get Reggie and his crew, like, in her specs, in her, you know, vision.
Yeah, she's really trying to, like, pin it on them, I feel like.
Well, yeah, because I think her original thought was because there were these loud
people outside the
house. Young men outside the house, and they were kind of rough looking or whatever. She assumed it was Reggie's crew.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're coming to find out that it's not, or it might not be. So how do you all feel about it? But I do feel like she's calmed down off of that West Side, South Side beef like she's had the first couple episodes and is really trying to bond a little bit with Cruz, which I appreciate.
I feel like, that's funny, someone in the comments said Detective Tassan is a tough woman. But yes, I feel like she is tough. I feel like she's trying to be more of a team with Cruz now.
Right.
Or not even, but like, you know, kind of lean on him a little bit more, which is good. I want her to soften up a little bit. But I also feel like since she is trying to set it on a specific group of people, she's not opening her eyes to everything that it could be. And what's scary is that Ethel, when she went to go visit Ethel, Ethel only thinks that one person attacked her. She doesn't know it was two men.
Was it two men?
Yeah, it was two men. Okay. The first man beat her, and then the second man came in. So I'm like, okay, that might kind of be where the story gets a little fuzzy. But, you know, I feel like she's trying to do it. She's just being a hard ass because she feels like she might not be able to trust anybody.
Right. Although I do feel like once Miss Ethel was like, oh, I know him and it wasn't him, that sent her down the path of the people that were, you know, all the people moving out of the area.
Right.
And the people that were sort of, you know, shout out to gentrification. The people were trying to
evict, you know, all the black people on the street. All the black
owners. So I do give her credit for not continuing down that Reggie path.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jeff?
No, she's definitely going to keep snooping. And I think now she's trying to figure out, I guess, if the attack was methodical and if it was connected to the gentrification that's happening. I don't personally believe that, but I think that's what she's trying to get to the bottom of. Like, maybe the antagonist or the villain in all of this isn't what's so overt about this whole story. Like, maybe it's a larger party that's controlling everything that's going on in this community.
Exactly. That's what I think. I think it's the evil white woman.
I'm starting to get that vibe, too, because did you see she had the map? And she pinpointed where all the where noises were being reported outside of the house. And then a few days later, there was attack, you know? And then she also started pinpointing where people were moving out and selling their houses. So I feel like some type of connection is in there.
And I sort of do, too, because I originally thought that because the person used veterans as a way to get into the home, I initially thought that that was the link to Ronnie.
That's what I thought, too.
But it never really has circled back to Ronnie since then. So it's like, well, yeah, she got beat, but nobody has come to Ronnie, like, in the prison, like, oh, you got our message, boo, or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what has led me to believe that it might not be as pinpointed. Like, clearly, whoever did it knew about Ronnie, I think, and they knew that they could use that. But that's what made me back away from your idea that it was linked to Ronnie specifically, because I feel like they haven't, you know, he wanted to protect his grandmother, but it's not clear that it was his fault.
I thought he was going to get stabbed in jail, honestly.
Well, you know, but that we've already talked about how footloose and fancy free he was in jail. Like, we've discussed how much fun he had in the penitentiary.
Oh my gosh.
making the
best. Can I just say, there are two people going in on each other in the comments about Emmett and Keisha going back and forth. We're going to talk about them next week, but let's talk about this now, guys.
Oh my gosh.
They're like going in about Emmett and Keisha. One wants them to be together. One doesn't want them to be together.
I don't know what to say, you guys, because I agree with you both. I love me some Keisha and her power bars, because you know you got to eat, but I'm not helping you out. I love me some Keisha. And I feel like she's the only person who could really roll with Emmett, because all these other little fly-by-night hoochies or whatever. But I think Keisha can kind of check them. But we'll see. Keisha can also probably do better than, I don't know.
That's what someone else said. That's what she said. And Keisha could do better than Emmett. But
Keisha can do better, but right now we don't have anybody better on the show except for Brandon. So, speaking of which, we'll move on to Brandon.
Brandon, my favorite.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so in this episode, Brandon is trying to get his hustle on. So Brandon's having all these money issues and money woes. And so after doing Junie's funeral.
That was hilarious.
I know. After doing Junie's funeral, now he's doing, and I have a photo of this. We have him doing like the Players Club. There we go. The one you had at first. Sorry. This one. Yes. So we see him getting his hustle on. What do you guys, Brandon was kind of cool and fun, and Brandon and Kevin's interaction this episode was kind of fun. What did you guys think?
I definitely like, well, I guess I'll talk about Brandon first, how he's like, oh, let's close up shop here and go to the pimp funeral. Like, you know, he's trying to make his money. He owes a lot of people money. And I forgot he owed his cousin money. I'm like, dang,
exactly.
Who don't you owe money exactly. to?
And I will say this, too, about that. Shout out to, like, I don't know if they have this in L.A., but in Chicago, they definitely have something that's called the Players Ball, where the pimps and the prostitutes have, like, a big thing. And it's, you know, it's exactly like this. Like, every time I watch the episode, like, I actually have seen, like, one or two people that I know, like, as, you know, background people. I'm like, oh, hey, there's such and such. But, yeah, so this is definitely a very Chicago-type, real Chicago flavor to it, which I love.
Yeah, so I'm glad he's trying to do that, get his money. And I also like the fact that, you know, he listened to his cousin's advice, go talk to the school, get in that competition, and win it. But then him and Kevin together, I'm glad that they finally brought them back. Exactly. And you can definitely see them forming that brother vibe.
Exactly.
And my heart melted when he's like, when Kevin asked him, like, what was it like to be a big brother? And you can see that that relationship is going to build even more.
For
so
sure.
Really,
and we have a picture okay, this is a picture of the cousin.
Right.
And I loved it because his cousin is so cool. He's like, he's getting high off the weed. And then as soon as you talk money, he's like, okay, wait, I got to go to the other side of the table, put on my money hat. And you know I'm your number one investor. So
yes.
I love their interaction because his cousin is like getting high but got his hustle together. So he's really cool. And then the next photo I have is the one you were speaking of. Brandon and Kevin.
Yeah.
That touched me. Like, I almost cried a little bit at Brandon's, like,
I think speech. I, like, may have cried in their interaction, not just the speech, but the whole, like, scene, yeah, the whole two whole scenes. Scene. Yeah.
That whole scene, I loved. What did you think?
He's over here smiling.
No, I really like this episode because, you see Brandon and Kevin's interaction, but I think the overarching topic about it, even though it was called Past Due, you can't spell Past Due without PTSD. I thought about that earlier,
oh,
right?
But let's think about it.
I feel like Lena was very methodical with that because everyone is suffering from it. Brandon with the loss of his brother, Kevin just being a young black man in Chicago, and even Ronnie, the PTSD that he got from leaving the military.
Very true.
Reggie
very true.
Being a product of his environment. It's just very telling how everyone is impacted a different way. And as you can see, as their relationship builds, Kevin living in the house with two parents, both mothers, and he has his sister, he doesn't have that brother interaction besides within his friends. So Brandon is in the right place at the right time, but you also see that he's still struggling from being a young entrepreneur and trying to figure it out. He's just out there swinging. So that's why I enjoyed this episode so much.
All right, cool. So we're going to wrap it up with the kids, which I love me some Kevin and Big Papa. That's what I like to call him. And I love him. And then, so first we see Kevin kind of dealing with Maisha and bringing her homework and stuff. And you really see kind of the struggle of poverty in the city of Chicago. And you see kind of Kevin, although he's in it, he's not of it. And so you kind of see his interaction with Maisha, which kind of is really touching to some extent. I really liked those scenes because at first he was like all tough with her, and then he realized Maisha has her own struggles. So I definitely like that. And Big Papa in these candy bars. How
oh
cute.
My gosh.
How cute. How cute.
Of course he would be. His father would be a pastor. Like, you know, it's just so perfect. And I'm glad that they put this scene in here because it was a lighthearted scene. We got to laugh and not just like be, oh my gosh, everyone's depressed or sad or going through a struggle. It was something funny and everyone's sweating and hungry and like, you know, after their Daniel fast, getting all the chocolate. So I really liked that. They put the kids in a kid scene, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. I love that. I love that. And shout out to the Daniel Fast people. I know they do it in LA, but in Chicago, it's definitely a big black church, a big thing, usually around the beginning of the year. And you eat all the foods that Daniel ate when he was like in the one wilderness. And I've done it, and it's hard. It does make you hungry. And so I have a picture of the end because Kevin comes up with the idea, well, if you hungry, imagine what the other people, the congregation is hungry too. And they get their hustle on, and you see them there with the Obama fan.
Right.
We all it. Church knows church be hot and making their money. So great, great, great episode. So we loved it. All right, you guys. So moving on to news and gossip with our girl Lauren.
So I just thought this was I thought this was just a very interesting thing I read today, and I actually have a picture of it. Lena Waithe tweeted that Nipsey Hussle actually read for the part of Ronnie. She said that he was actually really good. He got a call back, and you know, they talked about his role and how, you know, he didn't drink or anything, and they thought he would be good for the role. Not sure why he didn't get it. Of course, they're not going to mention it with the, you know, what happened to him. But I just thought that's a nice piece of information.
Yeah,
that
would have been
know.
Cool. I mean, although Ronnie seems a little bit older, or they cast it older than Nipsey would have been able to play. But that's super cool.
The facial hair. They could have played up with the facial hair or something. But
I totally
I liked
agree.
That.
Okay, so our special segment is Chi-Town Spotlight, where we, spotlight someone from Chicago. All right, so I'll make it quick. The spotlight for today, and we have her picture coming up shortly, is Lori Elaine Lightfoot. And for those of you from Chicago, y'all already know, she was elected mayor a few weeks ago to Chicago. She's the mayor-elect of Chicago. She takes office, or she starts her term May 20th, I believe. And for those of you who don't know, she is the first black female mayor of Chicago. Yay. The second female mayor of Chicago ever in history of Chicago. And the first openly lesbian mayor of a major, and she, I think there's only two in the country, and she's one of two.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it kind of makes you look at the whole Smollett thing a little differently because, yeah, you know. So anyway, shout out to Lori Elaine Lightfoot, the new mayor of Chicago.
Black girl magic.
Oh, and then another shout out in case you guys, those of you who really watch us and watch the show. Last week, our spotlight person was Benji. And if you watched the episode, there was a picture, the same picture that I had of Benji, Benji Wilson, which was a famous basketball player in Chicago that was killed. That was also on the wall of Sonny's chicken pit, along with Harold Washington and Michael Jordan and some other big time Chicago people, which we will bring to you throughout the season. So, all right, you guys, before we go, let's do predictions right quick. Make it snappy.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
First?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Take it away, Chef Beans.
Okay, so my predictions are that Brandon and Kevin are going to develop a stronger relationship, and Brandon's going to take his cooking to the next level as far as this competition.
Okay. My prediction is that they are going to find out that it's the white lady trying to evict everyone who had something to do with it. She could have been working with other people, but I think the beating of Ethel, I think they're going to figure out who did that coming in the next one or two episodes. I definitely think Brandon, I feel like Brandon has a really good chance at winning the competition and making a lot of things right. I hope they bring back his mother because I want to know what happened to her. And then I guess I'll make one more. I'm sorry, we didn't talk about this, but this could be part of the prediction. Kevin's other friend.
Jake.
Yeah.
He got the tattoo. So he's going to be in the gang soon.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so my predictions are, I think Brandon's going to win the competition. I think that it's going to come to fruition that it is this, you know, the evil white gentrification person doing beatdowns on these elderly people. And I don't know who's going to come to their aid. Maybe Reggie will save the day and give them the beatdown. All that and possibly more. All right, you guys, before we get out of here, thank you so much for joining us. Like, subscribe, all that other stuff. Give us a thumbs up. And to my wonderful co-host, where can we find you? What are you guys doing? Let us know. Chef Beans?
You can find me at Chef_Beans with a Z.
You can find me, Lauren Hubbard, on all social media at Lauren the Truth.
All right, you guys, thank you so much. And I am your host, Erica Edwards. And you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Ciao for now, folks. Come back here same time next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.